Okay, we are picking up for the Gemara Kuf Mem Beis Amud Aleph. We are 9 lines from the top. The words Kalkala Ve'Even V'Socha. So again, we discussed if you have a basket, if there was a stone in it with fruits as well, then a person would be allowed to carry it. The Gemara says now, the Gemara is wondering on this din of the Mishnah. Gemara asks Amaya, why are you allowed to carry the basket in such a case? Tave Kalkala Basis L'Davar HaAsur. We've learned this before, the concept that if something is supporting a mukta object, then that whole object is going to be deemed mukta as well. This is what's called the Basis L'Davar HaAsur. It's a base for the mukta object, that itself becomes mukta and it should be usr. So over here, the fact that there's a stone in the basket should become usr to carry. And so the Gemara answers, Amar Rabba Mar Yochan, Hacha b'chalkalam le'operos askinan. So we're discussing a case, the basket is filled with produce, but it contains a stone as well, so therefore, Rashi points out that the ikr nases basis le'operos, hilkach even metals agav kli. That the fact that the ikr, the main primary purpose is to carry the fruit, and there's only mamela, a stone, then it's not going to be considered a problem of carrying this item. And this is the halacha, just to point out, the Mishnah points out that it has to be the item when it comes to a davar, a basis, a davar asur, a davar mutar, if you want to carry it, so then it has to be that the item is more chashuv, that the non-mukta item is more chashuv, and that would be the only circumstance in which you would carry it. And we'll see the Gemara's hemshech that really this one's only way, even with that, is going to be bedieved to carry such a thing. The Gemara says, but still, at the end of the day, why don't you spill out the produce, and then, a stone's going to fall with that, vinaktubia dime, and then you're going to collect the produce, putting it back in the basket, and therefore you don't have to carry the stone whatsoever. Why do we allow the person to carry the stone in our example? The Gemara says, because Rabbi Lai, the name of Rav, said in a similar case that we're discussing, produce that's going to become dirty, it's going to get ruined if you spill it on the floor. It becomes disgusting, so therefore as well, we could give that teretz as well for us, that if you spilled the stone with all the produce on the ground, then that would be ruining the produce, and therefore it becomes mutter because there is no other option. So the Gemara says, the Gemara persists, but let him shake off the basket of the stone, let the stone fall out, and leave the produce in the basket. Why isn't that a problem of Boris? Rav Yashiv points out, because you have two very distinct items over here that would not be a ta'aroves of and a shayla of Borer. As Rav Yashiv points out, that it wouldn't be a shayla of Borer. The Gemara says, Amar Avchia Baravashi Amar Rava, Hacha Bechalkala Pchusa Askina. Here we're dealing with the case of the way Rashi describes it is that it's like its side is open a little bit. So this basket is open on the side, the Evan Gufan Asis Dofan Lakala. And therefore, because it's like a little bit open on the side, the stone becomes like the wall of the basket, and therefore the stone has a function, and therefore it's not going to be mukta. So we see over here that the whole kamtas of basis is really bidyevit. A person is not supposed to put himself in a situation where he's making a basis, and that's how it is also. You're not supposed to intentionally have something to leave a mukta non-mukta item together in order to move it. That is what we see from over here. But and also the thing, even if you in a situation where you're stuck, let's say if a person is lighting candles on a Shabbos table and he wants to move the Shabbos table, then he wouldn't be allowed to just move it if you put like something not chashiv. If a woman puts her rings on it, that would be the shayla of making that situation. Maybe that'd be mutter if you need the tzorach makomo. Even though again the whole concept of moving the buses with davar asur davar mutter we see over here is only bedevid, there might be room to be more make it. Okay, the Gemara continues. Metaltan truma. This person let him move truma, which is tame, together, which is truma that chalak, which is tar. The Gemara asks the same kasha we saw before. Rav Chista loshana elasha tahora lamato tmei lamala. The Gemara starts off by saying that this is only the case where the tar truma is on the bottom and the tame is on the top. About tahora lamala tmei lamata shakalei the tar v'shavak le tmei. As we saw before, since it's only b'di'evit, here you would have a remedy if the tar truma is on the top and the tame is on the bottom. So you have to take the tar truma out of the basket and carry it by itself and leave the tame behind the basket. You're not allowed to take this basket if there's a way out. However, if the tame is on the top and the tar is on the bottom, so then it's going to be, you're not going to be able to take it out in an easy fashion, so then you'd be allowed to take it onto wherever you have to go, to the table over there, and spill it on the table wherever you're going to get to. The Gemara asks, but at the end of the day, if the tahor truma is on the bottom, spill out everything in the contents of the basket, pour it all on the ground, and then put back the tahor truma that you want. So the Gemara has this question before. The Gemara now repeats it. The Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Elai, Amar Rav, prepared on Metafan Askina. So that's the case over here that the Gemara was using to borrow as the answer in the first case. That was this case over here. That in this case, the Brisa is discussing the Braisa was discussing and qualifying, really, Rav Chista rather, was qualifying the Mishnah. He was talking about where they would get ruined if you spill it out. So therefore, you're not allowed, you can't spill it out if the Tameh is on the top and the Torah was on the bottom. The Gemara says, Meisive, the question Rav Chista, based on the Braisa, the Metaltan Shuma Tmeah Ima Torah, Ima Chulin, Bein Shetorah Lamala Tmeah Lamata, Bein Shetmeah Lamala Vetorah Lamata. This Braisa says explicitly, it doesn't matter if the Torah is on the top or the bottom. In both circumstances, it's going to be Mutter. That's against Rav Chista, who's only when the Tahor is on the bottom would it be okay. But if the Torah is on top, you'd have to take out the Torah. So the Gemara says, Tiyut Rav Chista, isn't this Braisa against Rav Chista? So the Gemara answers, I'm Rav Chista, Masnisin, Letzorach Gufa. So no, there's a fundamental difference between the actual cases that the Mishnah and the Braisa are discussing. Chista says that in the case of the Mishnah is discussing where you want to eat the produce, when you use the produce itself, in that case, it's only going to be permitted to move the Tamei Truma if there's no other option. However, if the Tahor is on the top and you want to eat it, then you're allowed to. Then you would have to take the tahor from the top. Braisa, however, is l'tzorach mekoma. The Braisa is discussing a case where you need the place. And therefore, if I need the place and I just want to move the entire basket, at that point, you don't have to make a chilek whether the tahor is on the top or the tahor is on the bottom, because at the end of the day, I'm trying to move the basket. The basket's on the table and it's bothering me. So it doesn't matter about if I have the tahor on the top and I want to take that out, I'm going to take out everything. I have to move the whole basket. So in that circumstance, where I want to move the whole basket because I need the space, then the Braisa is telling me it doesn't matter whether which one is on top, I'd be allowed to move it in either circumstance. So the Gemara now says, but wait a second. My dochked Rav Chista look me mustin the Chatzar of Kufa. By the end of the day, Rav Chista is explaining our Mishnah is only talking about a case where you needed to, you wanted to eat it. Why are we limiting the scope of the heter? The heter about being that where the Tahor Truma is on the top, why don't you assume where they're on the bottom? Why don't you assume even when the Tahor is on the top? Why do you have to make this chiluk in the Mishnah itself and limit the heter of the Mishnah? So the Gemara answers, because Amar Rava, Masnisin Kavasi Daika, no, the Mishnah actually seems to read better according to Rav Chista. Why? Diktani say, the Seifa of the Mishnah tells us, Ma'o sha'al akar minar es akar v'hen noflos. V'amar b'chan am b'yochan loshen ala tzorach gufo, aval tzorach mekomo metatlen v'odan alav. Sorry, I read a lot over here. So the Gemara now says, quoting the Mishnah says, if you have money on a pillow, you're allowed to shake off the pillow so that the money will fall off. And Rabbi Chaim Yochanan qualified this, and he said that this the only time you have to shake off the pillow is if you wanted to use the pillow. So therefore you take the pillow out of al tzorach makoma, but in a situation where you wanted to move the whole basket, the whole thing together, then you're allowed to move it to a different location while the money is on it. You don't have to move it. So we see over here that according to the way that we saw, just quoted in the name of Rabbi Bar Chanan and Rabbi Yochanan explaining the Mishnah was talking about letzorach gufo, shaking off the money and the pillow and separating them is when I actually want to use the pillow. So however, according to this, then tzorach makoma, this Mishnah wouldn't apply. So the Mishnah is clearly talking about a case of tzorach gufo. So the Gemara then says, if that's the case, then the Mishnah's last case is discussing the tzorach gufo of using the pillow, so too the first case is also going to be talking about where I actually want to use the whatever I'm discussing there. I was talking about using the produce, so eating the produce is going to be considered the tzorach gufo, and therefore if I want to eat the produce with the tamei truma, then the tamei truma would depend. If the tamei truma is only on the bottom in that circumstance, then I could eat the tahor on the top and not at an issue, so then at that point I will have a chiyuv to eat the tahor truma and take it out and not move the whole basket. Now the Mishnah continues. Mishnah said, Rabbi Huda says, Af mal, and Rabbi Huda says, also allowed to remove one part of the truma in a mixture of 100 parts of chulin. Where it says, but wait a second, Amai, HaKamasakin, we know that this halacha applies by generally taking off truma meiser here as well. The Gemara is saying that you have made something fit to be eaten, and your Masakin, Rashi says, that it's going to be made, it's a gzera derabanan, because it looks like you're fixing something, and if you're fixing a real thing, that's an iser deraisa of tikkun mona. So the Gemara says, why isn't there an Isra Darban in this case? So the Gemara answers, now Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Eliezer, Sphir Le, Rabbi Yehuda holds like Rabbi Eliezer. What does Rabbi Eliezer say? To Amar Truma, Ba'ina Machta. He says that Truma, in a mixture, it needs to be separate with regards to the mixture. What does that mean? So the Gemara is going to quote the Gemara is now going to quote the Mishnah, which explains Shitas Rabbi Eliezer. Gemara says, this Nan, Seya Truma Shnafa Lepachos Memea V'nid Me'u. So if you have a mixture of less than 100, like we said, and then only comes Meduma. Meduma means that it's not mutter for anyone but a Kohen to eat it. So this is only Darabanan. I think it would be I think 1 in 3 Midaraisa would be good enough. So the Midarabanan, they say that 1 in 100, only 1 in 100 is batel. So anything less than that over here, that we have over here, was, let's say it fell into 50. So then the whole 50 can be sold to a Kohen, so yet and only a Kohen's allowed to eat it. But let's say one of those falls into another mixture. Rabbi Eliezer is going to hold Nabas Kitrumas Vada. We view this new mixture as if it is Truma Vadai. Whereas Chachamim want to assume that only according to calculations. So in our example where you had 1/50th fell in, so then if it fell in then to another 60th, let's say, of if it fell into something which had, not 60, it just fell into another thing of 60, one apple of Truma. And then it fell into 50 apples of non-truma. So now the whole thing is 1/51st of, so it's usher to eat, you'd have to sell the whole coin. But let's say then out of that one, out of that 51 apples, you take one of those apples, fell out, and fell into another thing of 60 apples. So that's the machlokas over here between Rabbi Lezer and Chacham. And Rabbi Lezer holds that the mixture is going to be viewed as it doesn't matter. At the end of the day, you have more than, less than 1/100th chance, and therefore it should be batel. He says that it doesn't matter. It's going to be viewed individually, and therefore it's going to be like viewed chus tumas vadai. We see that it's chuma in the mixture is considered distinct, and therefore, according to him, we wouldn't consider it separating anything, because we view it as if, even though it's only 100, we see it as if it's a whole piece of truma. And therefore, according to him, it would lead to a chumra in this circumstance, but by us, it would lead to the kula of assuming that you wouldn't be metakin anything. According to the chachamim, though, that says that it's a mixture, according to them, it would be usher, and that would be nirak misakin. The Gemara says, though, even according to Rabbi Eliezer, though, that's the whole point, though. When does Rabbi Eliezer say that this is going to be the case, that we're going to view truma as being something distinct, and therefore, for it's going to be viewed as if it's truma vadai? That's only lechumra. That's where we said over there that according to Chachamim you have 1/110th. So that second, if it falls in again, that 1/50th of apple, that one apple fell into 50, and then one of those mixture, you don't know which one, fell into something else of 60 more apples. So according to Chachamim, that's a kula. So Rabbi Lezer is going to be machmir. However, the kula mishmele, would Rabbi Lezer say this opinion that the truma is going to be viewed as not a mixture, even lekula over here, to assume that it's not going to be considered misakin on Shabbos? We don't know that. So therefore, the Gemara wants to say a different possibility of who this is going like. The Gemara says, Elohu Damar Kib Shimon. Rabbi Yehuda is going to go like Rabbi Shimon, who holds the following. Kedistani, it says in the Mishnah, Se'at Shuma Shnafla Meh. If you have a Se'at Shuva that fell into 1/100th, Ve'loi speak like Bi'at Shnafla Achara. So here, you did have a chance to remove it, and then another one fell in. So now you have less than 1/100th. However, I know that it originally was Batel. So Hareza Asura. The Tanakama holds that it's going to be Aser, because we have two seahs at less than 100. That's not the shear of Meduma. Meduma is only 1/100. However, Rabbi Shimon says that the whole mixture is going to be mutter, because we view it as if that it was batel, and then only after it was batel, another one fell in, and then now it's still also that second one be batel as well. So the Gemara now says that maybe, so we see over here that Rabbi Shimon, how does that carry out for us? We're seeing that Rabbi Shimon follows the reasoning that the Truma is viewed as distinct, and even what leads to Kula, as the fact that it's going to say that it's going to be Kama Kam Batal, it's going to be Pam Batal and then Batal again. Rabbi Shimon is Mekil, so then we see that Rabbi Shimon, that Rabbi Yehuda would agree with this opinion of Rabbi Shimon. The Gemara says, Mamai, but how could he be that? Dilma Hasam Bahaki Miflegi Desana Kama Savar Afagav Denaflu Bezachar Zeh Kimad Denaflu. That we're going to view it as the famous machlokas we have in other circumstances of chazer v'nir or kama kama batel. That is going to be batel. Do we view it as that the whole thing was batel and then it's going to be batel again, or no? Do we say that it comes back and we look at the percentages and we're going to be machmir that two things fell in less than 100? According to the Tanakama, they're going to view it two things fell into 100 and therefore it's going to asir. Rabbi Shimon Savar Kamasei batel b'mea. So therefore, that the first one was completely batel, and then when it fell in again, you have 101 of heter gomer now. It became heter gomer, and therefore, it would be mutter. So what do we see? That Rabbi Shimon is going to say that only the truma is going to be considered distinct within the mixture, and he's not going to say that it's considered something. It's just a simple shayla of what do we say, kama kam batel, lechazer v'nir. That's not a halacha about the truma being distinct or not, and therefore it would have no bearing with regards to the halacha l'maisa with regards to Shabbos. So the Gemara now suggests, Elahu damar k'Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar. It must be the Tanya of Yehuda is going to be holding like Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar. The Tanya, the Braisa tells us, Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar says, Nosin ina b'tadev v'ocha mitzad acher. That person doesn't even actually have to physically separate the truma on Shabbos. If, as long as he has in mind that which one you're going to give as taking off as the truma, then you would allow to eat the rest of them and it would not be an issue. So Rabbi Yehuda is going to be following this shita, and he holds that since one is allowed to eat from the mixture without actually physically separating anything, that would be not considered something that's usher to do on Shabbos because you haven't physically done anything. So the Gemara asks, So if that answer would theoretically work out, however, Rabbi Yehuda doesn't hold like Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, because we have a brisa which says explicitly that they were quoting both shitas as arguing, turning on to the next album. But now the Gemara says, "Vaha mifli poligala." Don't we see that he argues, or Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar argues, Rabbi Yehuda in the following brisa? The brisa tells us, "Desanya Rabbi Yehuda over ma'alanus and madunim be'echad ma'ar." Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar mer no sin ina b'tadze ve'ochel mitzad acher. You don't have to actually physically do it, whereas Rabbi Yehuda says that you do. So we see clearly that Rabbi Yehuda requires you to physically do it on Shabbos. So how could it be that Rabbi Yehuda is following his view based on Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar when he disagrees with him explicitly in this brisa? So the Gemara answers: Rabbi Yehuda adifim mid Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar. Rabbi Yehuda goes further than Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar. Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar holds that someone can fix the situation simply just by doing it, having it in his head. If you have it in your head, that's enough, according to Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar. Rabbi Yehuda says that since the mixture can be done through this method, through this methodology, even if you do it, if you decide to do it physically, that would not be considered fixing it. So Rabbi Yehuda fundamentally agrees that you can do it mentally, and therefore, since you can do it mentally, even if you physically decided to do it, that's not near a kemisakin. That wouldn't be the isher dirabana. Very interesting. Okay, now the Mishnah continues the idea of tiltum and atad with regards to mukta. Ha'evan shal pi achavis. If you have a stone is on the top of a barrel, mata al tzida vehi nofela. Someone is allowed to tilt the barrel on the side so that the stone will fall off. And as we mentioned before, again, this is the heter of tilt min atzad for the tzorach of the non-mukta item. Now the Mishnah continues, Haisa ben achavios, if the barrel was amongst other barrels, and we're afraid therefore it's going to break if you tilt it off on the side over there, so then what can you do? Magbia mata altsida binofelas, and you're allowed to lift up the whole barrel to an area where it's not going to fall off on, you're not afraid it's going to fall off on the other barrels, and immediately at that point you then have to take off the stone. And then the Mishnah Kniz Mal Shagal Akar, if you have money that's on the pillows, very similar alacha right now, Minaris Akar Veinelflo. Similar thing is you shake off the pillow so that the money falls off because you want to use the pillow. Now the Mishnah continues, Haisal of Ashleshes, if there, this is just an agav point now, if there is dirt on the pillow and you want to clean it off, Makan Chavis Martu, so you can wrap it off with a rag. However, as she points out, doing it with water would obviously potentially be the Isser da Reisa of Shriyasa da Kipuso, of doing it, of laundering, which is going to be a tolda of Libun. So then the Mishnah tells you that would be Asr Haisa Shal Or. However, the pillow was made of leather, no Sinele Mayama Shatecha, you're allowed to put water on it, because we assume that leather is not going to be Davar Shal Kibus, is not going to be something that is Shayach to this Isser, and it's going to be Mutter, based on the Gemara and Zvachim, Rashi quotes that as well. Now the Gemara continues, the Gemara says, Amara Rav Huna Marav, Loshano Ela B'Shochech, this halacha about tilting the barrel is only if you forgot. Havel B'Neach, Nasa B'Sa Davar, if you left it on purpose, it's going to be forbidden to do this. It's only a heter b'dieved, and however, b'kar, if you thought about it, so then you knew that it was there, you've created the fact that you don't care that the mukta item is there, that creates a basas davar be usher to do this, to pour out the rock. Ha'isa ben chavias, the Mishnah continues that if there was amongst other barrels, someone allowed to pick the barrel and put it in the safe area. The Gemara says, analyzing this din, the Gemara says, mantan, who is the shita that holds it, where you have a permitted thing that you have to move the barrel and you have to move the stone? So we tried to tell you to move the barrel and get off the stone that way. Why don't you take off the stone directly over here? Our Mishnah tells you you're not allowed to lift the stone directly. You should rather still tilt the barrel and deal with the barrel and then get rid of the stone in that manner. Who is that Tana? The Gemara now says, Amar Abba Amar Yochanan, Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel. This is the Shita of Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel. How do we know this? The Mishnah tells us, HaBorer, when it comes to Mishnah Beitza, the Mishnah Beitza tells us, HaBorer, Kitnis b'yomtov, someone who wants to separate the legumes from a mixture that has things that you don't want on yontiv. So there's different dinim with regards to borer lechora, but either way, there are dinim of borer that are somewhat nogea on yontiv. There's different gedarim, they would be on Shabbos, but the Mishnah tells us, b'shamay omen borer v'ochel v'ochel. B'shamay says that you can sort out the food from the things that you don't want on yontiv, but however, you're not allowed to take out the bad parts from the good. That would be according to Shitas Bichami. They say, Omrin Bora Kadarko, Bichami says that you're allowed to sort out in the normal way of sorting out by taking the bad from the good. It wouldn't be an issue of taking the bad from the good. Lefi Bichami, Bichilla. So again, Bichami doesn't like to take the bad from the good, Bichilla would. Bichiko Tampoy on his lap or with a large plate. And we see that according to the way Bichilla is understanding, Bichilla is allowing you to remove the bad from the good even when there is, more food, so we, at the end of the day, you're allowed to move the mukta item. That's what we see from here. However, the Tanya, the Braisa, it tells us, when do we apply this? That's only when there's more food than there is the bad part. So therefore, taking the mukta from the bad, that would be less of a tircha. However, if you have more of the bad than the good, everyone's going to agree that you could take the food and leave, that you have to take the food and leave out the bad part. So according to Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, Basila is allowing you only to take the mukta only when it's coming to reduce the tircha involved. However, where there's no benefit, then we don't allow you to take the mukta item, and therefore we go back to the general preference of dealing with the non-mukta item versus the mukta item. So the Gemara wants to taina that Rabbi Shimon Gamliel is going to hold over here that since there's a choice of the mukta and the non-mukta is better. That's what we would hold line up in our Mishnah as well. The Gemara asks, so is it really a valid comparison? That in the case of the Mishnah, wouldn't it be comparable to the case where there's more food than the bad? Since why? Because you're putting more effort in moving the barrel than moving this and then moving the stone. Then in this case, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel should assume that you should also be allowed to move the stone because it's much more of a tircha to move the barrel. So the Gemara wants to answer. Hachanami came on to ibay the mishka lo mishtakin le yain adeshaki le kipsolos mer laocha damino. Here also in the case of the Mishnah, it's someone wants to take out all of the wine at some point from the barrel. So therefore, the wine is not going to come out unless eventually you lift out all the wine out of the barrel. So therefore, we're going to say that it's similar to the case of where there are more bad from the good. In the case where there's more bad from the good, where we tell you to take the mutter thing, that would be the example of our mission as well, and therefore we don't tell you that you'd be allowed to move the rock. That's what comes out from the Gemara. The Mishnah continues, Mishnah says, Haisa bena chavios, if they were among other barrels, someone is allowed to lift the barrel that to the safe area and put it there. The Gemara says, Tanya, we learn in a Braisa, Rabbi Yossi Omer, the lach is going to be, if you have the barrel that's in a storehouse with the other barrels, or they were with glass also nearby, you could take it to another area, take the barrel to another area, and tilt it on its side so the stone will fall for there. And you could take off whatever you need and return the barrel to its place. That's what the Braisa tells us. Mal shal akar. So then the Mishnah continues and says you have money that's on a pillow. The Gemara says Amar Rav, Amar Rabchia, Amar Rav, Lo Shana Lo Bishachecha. Maniach Nasa Beisul Sadavar. The same thing we saw before. Why are you telling me both them? Tosfos says that we're mentioning both because the Talmidim are telling you both cases. It's Pasha. It's only the dinner where you forgot. However, if you did it on purpose, it's going to be a basis. This would be following the same halacha we saw before. But this is the Talmidim repeating this circumstance of learning what they learned from Rabbi in this case as well. Amar Rav, Amar Rav, Amar Yochanan, Lo Shana Lo Sadarach Kufa, Sadarach Mekoma, Metal Tavod and Lal. The lacha is going to be that when the salacha to shake off the money is only where you need the pillow. However, if you need to move both of them, then you would be allowed to move it while the money is on it. Chen tana, as we saw before. Chen tana rabbi bedifti, lo shanu ela tzarech gufa, tzarech mekoma, metal tavod and lal, the lacha, if you want to move the pillow, you'd be allowed to move the pillow while the money is on it. The Mishnah said, ma'o shala kar minar, that if you have money that's on a pillow, you're allowed to shake it off so the pillow falls off. So the Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Yoshia, shachachar neki b'chatzer, if someone left his wallet in the courtyard where it's going to be unprotected, so it's mukta, and you're not allowed to move it because it's right. You're going to be it's money that's designated for Isser use of Mecca from Amkar. You're allowed to put a loaf of bread or a child on it and move it together. So you have the non mukta item with it, and the non mukta item that's more chashuv. Hopefully, your child is more chashuv than the money. So then you'd be allowed to move it. The Gemara says, Amar Avitzak shachach levena mechatzer. Similar halacha, if you find a brick in a courtyard where again you're afraid it's going to get lost or ruined. You're allowed to place a loaf of bread or a child and move it. That one time they left money in a public area. He said, do the same where you put a loaf of bread or a young child and move them together. The Gemara says that this is not the case all the time. The halacha is only going to find this when you forgot to, you left these answers. If you left the brick or if you left the money on purpose there for whatever reason and it doesn't work out, let's say you knew that you wanted the goy to pick it up at a certain time and then you realize, oh no, it's not there, so that would be on purpose. You left it there. This halacha would be usher to move it. And then the Gemara says, well, even further than that, Ravashi Amar, Afil Shechech Namilo, Vilomra La Kikartinok, Ela Bimes, Lames Bilvad. Ravashi says that it can't be that this is the Lacha. The Lacha is only in regards to Kavan Ames, this special dispensation, this special Kula of telling you that you're allowed to put something magically, put another Heter item, and then move the Isser item. That is only with regards to a mace. However, when it comes to any other halacha, we're not going to allow you just to move the money, just stamp. So he disagrees above, and that's actually what's quoted in Shulchan Aruch. There's a big shaila about this, but what about a klish malachtel? That's with regards to mutzah machzus gufo. These things are only category of mutzah machzus gufo. What about if something is klish malachtel le'isser? Would we allow you? We normally don't allow you to move klish malachtel le'isser to bring it into your house just to save it from protection, from losing it. However, maybe in that case, because klish malachtel in general is more makil to move le'tzarach gufo, le'tzarach makomo, maybe in that circumstances there are poskim who want it to be makil with regards to using the kikar tinak. That's a big shaila in the achronim. A lot of people are machmir, so even if that came up, you'd have to figure out what to do. Lachol ma'isel. Mark continues that by maniach kape akifa, that he used to put the sheaves of grain on a spoon. He put his spoon over there, and therefore he would move them. Rava also maniach sakina abar yonah matatla. Rava used to put a knife on a raw dove meat, and then he would move it. The Gemara says a kasha on both these. Amar of Yosef kema karfish met the darke. These people are so sharp, yet they got the halacha wrong, Rashi says. So why? Because when did the Rabbanan say that this case is mutter b'shachech? Only where you forgot about it. Lechachila miyomar. These people, the Abai and Rava, did this, didn't even lechachila. It's not mutter lechachila. It's also lechachila. So the Gemara said for Abai and Rava defended them. Amar Abai, ilav danam choshev on a kapa kipe lamali hachazu lemizah alay. So Abai says, I was only being machmer on myself. I don't even need to put the spoon on it b'chlal, because you can lean on them. You can lean on them. If you can lean on them, they're not going to be mukta. They have a function. Since they have a function, and they have a practical uses on Shabbos, they're not going to be considered mukta. As a chumra was doing this, so I don't need to do this at all. So what are you giving me? Giving me a headache. So the Gemara says also Rava said the same thing. I'm a Rava. Anna ilav the adam choshevana. Also, if I wasn't a frum guy, everyone looked at me and they're going to think that I was dividing the lacha. So I was extra machber myself. Sakina bar yonah lamali. Why? Because achazi leumta. People even eat it raw, so it's not mukta. Since people eat it raw, it's not considered mukta. I did this as a special chumra. So why are you, again, similar thing? Why are you getting all upset at me? The Gemara says time of the chazi leumta. According to the reason, according to Rava, is because it's fit to be in while it's raw meat. Halochas leumta. But if it's not fit to be in as raw meat, then it would be usher, be considered mukta. The Gemara says lemeimer de Rava ki Rabbi Yehuda sphere light. Is this going to be that Rava holds that it's going to be like Rabbi Yehuda? We have the big machlokas Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon with regards to mukta, whether or not we assume that a more inclusive together of mukta as opposed to Rabbi Shimon is much more making on the halachas of mukta. If Rava held like Rabbi Shimon, so then again the halacha of here is that it's something that's generally used by humans but can be eaten by animals. The shaila is that mukta or not. Rabbi Shimon is more making with mukta, says no, it's not a problem, it's okay. However, Rabbi Yehuda, who holds more of a more chomer together of mukta, he'll hold that that's usher. If you have a food that's generally designated for people and it's not fit for them right now, and it is fit for animals right now on the Shabbos, according to Yehuda, that's still considered mukta. So the Gemara is suggesting, does Rava really hold to this? Because at the end of the day, why should it be mukta at all? Because this raw meat is fit for animals, so it shouldn't even be a shayla b'chlal of mukta. So Gemara says, "Vamar Rava l'shamay." Didn't Rava once tell his gabbai one time that tavuli bar avza? He says, "Go roast a goat for me." And this was on Yantiv. But you should throw the utensils to the cat. Go feed the innards to the cat. You're feeding the innards to the cat on Yantiv. But wait a second. That's only going to be suitable for the animals. Why is that not considered mukta on Yantiv? The Gemara answers, Hasam over there, Keva de Mitzraf, Daitele Bet Mono, because even Rabbi Yehuda would agree, because if you leave them on Yantiv and leave them a whole other day till the next day, they're going to spoil, and therefore even Rabbi Yehuda would agree that they're going to be muktzas. Really, Rava does in fact hold like Rabbi Yehuda. The Gemara says this really makes sense. Hachana Mestab, the Rava Rabbi Yehuda's fairly. It makes sense to assume that Rava holds like Rabbi Yehuda. The Darish Rava, because Rava said one time, Isha lo tikanas labesa etzim, little man ud. A woman shouldn't go into the woodshed to take a piece of wood to use it to the thing to use to stoke the coals on Yantiv. Stoking the coals on Yantiv would be nutter, but generally this woodshed is just used for general lighting a fire, which would be usher on Yantiv, so she's not allowed to do this. And if you have this that broke on Yantiv, you're not allowed to light it on Yantiv. You're allowed to light fuel with a fire with undamaged utensils on Yantiv, however, you're not allowed to light it with damaged utensils on Yantiv. So therefore, we see that Rava was being machmer in the Shiver Kelim, Rashi points out, we see that Shema Minah, that really, that he holds like Rabbi Yehuda, that holds of Mukta, because he holds that Nishbru Hayom, they're going to be Nolad, that's like more Machmer Geder of Rabbi Yehuda. So we see that Rava holds like Rabbi Yehuda. Okay, Mirtz Hashem, will pick up the words, Bisham Yomim with the Mishnah, Mirtz Hashem, tomorrow.